The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome back to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. Lots to get to on today's program, as per usual. If you look into the Bible, there are actually instances when God said that he would be willing to pardon the sins of an entire city if he could find just one righteous man, just one righteous individual in the midst of the city. Jeremiah 5 and verse 1, it says, run ye to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem and seek, it says, and seek in the broad places thereof if you can find a man, if you can find just one individual. It says, if there be any that executes judgment, that seeks the truth, and I will pardon it. God there was looking for just one seeker of truth. In that same book of Jeremiah, chapter 7, it says, but you shall say unto them, this is a nation. So here he speaks as the, it speaks to the nation collectively, the nation of Judah. It says, this is a nation that obeys not the voice of the eternal their God, nor receives correction. Truth, it says, is perished. Truth is perished and is cut off from their mouth. You see this quite often in the Bible. Truth is perished. Truth fails, said the prophet Isaiah. Truth is cast to the ground, said the prophet Daniel. And we see a lot of that happening today in spiritual Israel, in our nations, physical Israel, all over the world, in fact. Listen to this question from a reporter yesterday. She's questioning the president of the United States, clip 14.
If an American president loses more Americans over the course of 6 weeks than died in the entirety of the Vietnam War, does he deserve to be reelected?
That's not someone who's interested in the truth. Not at all. She's not seeking the truth. She's trying to get her name out there. She's trying to get a little bit of publicity. If an American president loses more Americans, so it's President Trump who's lost 50-some thousand Americans, and he doesn't deserve to be reelected. I guess if you take that same approach worldwide, then every single leader in every single nation where the coronavirus has killed people, well, they'd have to be either removed, voted out of office, whatever, by that same logic. Truth is perished. It's President Trump's fault. Hosea 4, verse 1, just to continue with this theme, it says, hear the word of the Eternal, you children of Israel, for the Eternal has a controversy with the inhabitants of the land because there is no truth. There's no truth in the land. There's no knowledge, it says, no knowledge of God in the land. It's gone. So here are these verses, and so many of them at that, pointing out just how rare it is today for people to speak truth, to speak from the facts. Truth fails. And the reason for this, of course, and you're only going to hear this on this program, but the reason for all of this is because of Satan the devil, who's cast down to this earth. He's deceived the whole world. And it says in John 8 and verse 44 that there's no truth in him. He's the father of lies. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own. For he is a liar and the father of it. On yesterday's show, we referred to these two emergency center doctors from Bakersfield, California. These two doctors, these experts in immunology, in virology, they've been fighting viruses for decades. I think they have something like 40 or 50 years experience between them. Two doctors coming from this urgent care facility, and they held this this press conference last week, last Wednesday. Dan Erickson and Artin Masihi, two doctors, as I say, they've tested over 5,000 patients for coronavirus in their county. And as you heard yesterday, they they talked about the similarities between this virus and a bad flu season. One of them was quoted as saying, "You have a 0.03 chance of dying from COVID in the state of California." So they were there in front of these local reporters from Central California, giving their statements, receiving questions from the journalists. The press conference went on for, I think, almost an hour. That was last Wednesday, April 22nd. Now, that didn't make big headlines. The New York Times didn't pick up with that the next day, Thursday, and say, "Hey, we've got two guys at the front lines." And they say that initially we didn't have any data. We just had the models. We just had a guess, basically. But now, after 6 or 8 weeks, we're beginning to get the data. And now we can draw some conclusions based upon science. The major media, they were not at all interested in this story. An hour-long press conference covered by the local media. And even there, if you go to the local, I think it's News 23 in Bakersfield. If you go to the website, there's a long disclaimer at the bottom of the article. They've got to tell you, now you look, we don't agree with this. But here's what these two say. It doesn't catch on. I saw a tweet about the press conference. I think it was Friday evening. And right then, I cut and pasted it into my notes, my document for the program I was going to do yesterday, Monday. And I thought, well, if I have time, hopefully I can sit down and listen to the press conference. Saturday, I think I saw it on a blog. It was referenced on one particular blog, not mainstream by any means. I think Sunday I saw a reference to it on Powerline, and I read the little excerpt on Powerline's blog, and it said that this video had already been seen by 2 million people. 2 million people had seen this video. And so then when I got around to seeing it on Monday morning, it was up to 4.5 million views. And then I collected some of the clips, as you heard on yesterday's program. And then I got up this morning and saw that Fox News had played a few clips from the same press conference. And then found out after this that YouTube had pulled the video down. YouTube had deleted the video. YouTube said it violated the community standards, the guidelines for YouTube. So someone probably in his mid-20s, someone in YouTube or within the YouTube policing community decided that these two guys, they were spreading false or misinformation. Listen to what Laura Ingraham said at the end of her program. She played some excerpts from these two doctors early on in her program, and by the end of her program, the video was pulled down, and here's what she said at the end of her show, clip one.
Huge reaction to the two docs we had on at the top of the show, Dan Erickson and Artin Masihi. Well, YouTube just took down their viral video challenging the COVID narrative when it comes to what's happening in California especially. Ironically, this is exactly what they warned about, that this isn't about science. This is about control. And in this case, control of a narrative.
These two doctors, one of them, Dr. Erickson, said, look, this is not about the virus. Look at how few people have died here in California. It's not Queens. It's about control. But when you think about YouTube, they were just last week, the CEO of YouTube came out with a statement saying that if it doesn't square with what the World Health Organization says, then we'll pull it down. We'll pull it down. Here's the YouTube CEO with Brian Stelter a week ago, clip two.
But then we also talk about removing information that is problematic. You know, of course, anything that is medically unsubstantiated, so people saying like, take vitamin C, take turmeric, like those are all will cure you. Those are the examples of things that would be a violation of our policy. Anything that would go against World Health Organization recommendations would be a violation of our policy. And so remove is another really important part of our policy.
So you're not just putting the truth next to the lie. You're taking the lie down. That's a pretty aggressive approach.
Yeah, a very aggressive approach. It's the WHO standard that we're going with. The organization that said the death rate for COVID-19 was 3.4%. They were right on board with the imperial model that said millions and millions of people were going to die all over the earth. Millions just in the United States and Britain. But how much worse? How much worse would it be in countries that don't have the healthcare systems that we have? That's what we were told. That's the standard. The WHO, the Imperial College model. That's what we're going with. Even when they're proven wrong, they're still right. So there's the YouTube CEO saying that we're going to remove any. If you get up and suggest vitamin C or whatever else you might have to say, it's going to be yanked. Listen to the doctors, one of them, Dr. Erickson. This is what he said last week in his press conference about the control. Clip three.
Like something else is going on here. This is not about science, and it's not even about COVID. When they use the word safe, if you listen to the word safe, that's about controlling you.
Now, that's been deleted, that video. They've taken that down because they don't care about this particular doctor's opinion. It has to be a certain kind of doctor, one that comes right out from the establishment, one that really echoes what the World Health Organization says, one that's really behind big pharma and vaccines and all of these solutions, quote unquote. And then you have big tech. You'll begin to see some commonalities here. All of the big government, big pharma, big Hollywood, big academia, big media. On so many of these issues, they all think exactly the same, don't they? They think exactly the same. You heard the YouTube CEO. Here's the CEO of Facebook saying the same thing. Clip four.
Facebook also holds its users accountable by continuing to monitor and flag posts for harmful misinformation about the disease.
How do you deal with the fact that Facebook is now being used to organize a lot of these protests to defy social distancing, defy the social distancing guidelines in states? Is somebody trying to organize something like that? Does that qualify as harmful information?
We do classify that as harmful misinformation, and we take that down. At the same time, you know, it's important that people can debate policies. So there's a line on this. But, you know, more than normal political discourse, I think a lot of the stuff that people are saying that is false around a health emergency like this can be classified as harmful misinformation.
And you notice there how George Stephanopoulos, he he's right in sync with this as well. Sets him up with a softball question, a leading question, actually. Well, what about these protests? What about these people that are worried about their rights being trampled on because of COVID-19 and they're arranging some of their protests on Facebook? Is that misinformation? Is that harmful misinformation? You heard from Zuckerberg. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. We got to delete it. We got to take that down. This is becoming more and more frequent, in case you haven't noticed. You look at this story with the sexual harassment, the woman that came forward accusing Joe Biden from, I think it was the early 1990s. It was quite a while ago. But she came forward with these allegations that he sexually harassed her or assaulted her in some way. And if you remember, it was less than a year and a half ago, or about a year and a half ago, when one woman came forward, that triggered an onslaught, an attack against Brett Kavanaugh. This is from the Federalist. It says, regarding Tara Reid, it says, legacy media offered the charges against Kavanaugh wall-to-wall coverage, despite the absence of any real case, while they ignore far more credible claims brought forward by an accuser with a consistent story backed up by multiple sources. And then it goes on and talks about how many stories it had on Blasey Ford. Hundreds and hundreds of them. Hundreds of stories. And one lady, one woman that came forward, and she couldn't get corroboration from anyone else. She didn't know any of the details. It was all very hazy, very fuzzy. And yet we were told that she not only needed to be heard, she should be believed. Who can forget what Senator Hirono said during the Kavanaugh circus, clip 5?
It is really important not only for these survivors to be heard, but if their story is as credible as Dr. Ford's story is, they need to be believed.
They need to be believed. But not in the case of this woman, the more recent one, Tara Reid. She should be just brushed aside. She should be quieted. Her story should not be told. Well, more and more people are talking about it, mainly from conservative media. And so you have coverage like what we saw today in the Washington Post. This headline, developments, listen to this headline, developments in allegations against Biden amplify efforts to question his behavior. What? That's got to be the worst headline in the history of the Washington Post. It was so bad, they changed it later. Now Trump's the fault. Trump allies highlight new claims regarding allegations against Biden. So now it's about Trump's people. They're going after Biden with this story. It's not about the incident. It's not about the sexual harassment. Certainly not. Not this time. Not with a prominent Democrat on the line. It says, this is in the article. Richard said it was one of the most confusing articles he's ever read. It says, some allies of President Trump pointed Monday to new claims by a woman who said she was told about sexual assault allegations against Joe Biden decades ago, renewing attention to questions about the past behavior of the presumptive Democrat presidential nominee. This run-on sentence where, here again, it does a better job of concealing what happened than it does of revealing it. And that's all by design, because you don't need to know about this. This too needs to be deleted. Just last week, you had this video surface, and again, it corroborates Tara Reid's story. It's her mother calling in on Larry King, the old show on CNN from back in the early 1990s. This clip is from 1993, and listen to this caller as she calls in. This is Tara Reid's mother, clip 6.
San Luis Obispo, California. Hello.
Yes, hello. I'm wondering what a staffer would do besides go to the press in Washington. My daughter has just left there after working for a prominent senator and could not get through with her problems at all. And the only thing she could have done was go to the press, and she chose not to do it out of respect for him.
Or she had a story to tell, but out of respect for the person she worked for, she didn't tell it.
That's true.
Well, now, but these are the people who do come to the Lois Romanos, right? The mm-hmm. staff worker who says, I want to let you know about what's going
this
on, either
going
with my
on
boss
and
or
I'm
the
troubled.
Guy down the hall.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of these people have a sense of obligation. They feel that this public official should be accountable if it's something wrong.
They're whistleblowers to the press.
Exactly.
So that squares with Tara Reid's allegation. Now, what's pretty revealing here again is if you go back into the archives, you get to this by Google Play. If you go back to the archives, you have the show right before it. I think it was August 12th, 1993, and then the one on August 14th. And that particular episode there, the one that we just played the clip from, it's gone. It's gone. It's been deleted. It perished. It was cast to the ground. Google doesn't want you to see it. And Google and CNN have gone back and forth. CNN says, we didn't do it. Google did it. This is from Fox News. It says the 1993 episode of CNN's Larry King Live featuring an anonymous caller who was later identified as the mother of Biden accuser Tara Reid was no longer listed in Google Play's catalog late Saturday. Mysteriously, though, the August 10th broadcast, which is listed as episode 154, is followed by the August 12th broadcast, which is listed as episode 155, suggesting that episode and the ones that follow could be incorrectly listed and off by a number. There's one missing, in other words. And they just bumped everything else up forward. It's been scrubbed from the record. This is like it's straight out of George Orwell's 1984. It's pretty amazing. The Ministry of Truth has been quite busy. The Ministry of Truth has been working overtime to erase the facts. The facts that tell a story that's maybe a little bit different than the experts or the powerful politicians' narrative. This is from Project Syndicate, as I say. You think this isn't happening? It is, and it's happening with greater frequency. And it falls right in line with so many of these scriptures I gave to you at the top of the segment. This article by Project Syndicate, it was one that we found last week, and we just haven't gotten around to it as yet, but it says here, how Europe rules the digital economy. Now, we had an article at the Trumpet last year. Germany is taking control of the internet, and it would be easy. It would be easy if you're just kind of skimming the surface, looking at a few headlines, to see a headline like that and say, well, come on, that's too much. It's too far. Germany's getting control of the internet? And how does that even tie in with what I've just gone through here with Google and YouTube and some of these other disturbing stories? Well, this article talks about how it's the EU regulations, it's the EU's policies that more and more of these big tech companies are complying with. Not the US Constitution, not the Bill of Rights, but what these authoritarians around the world are saying in China, in Europe, what the bureaucrats want, big government, the administrative state, the deep state, whatever you want to call it. It says Europe is not home to any of the major tech firms, but it shapes digital governance worldwide. Listen to this. It shapes digital governance worldwide owing to the size and attractiveness of its market. Whereas American-style techno-libertarianism and Chinese digital authoritarianism have both come up short, the European Union's regulatory approach has emerged as a global gold standard. Here's the gold standard as far as internet regulations are concerned. What a mixture. When you put this together, the standard in Europe, European regulations, together with the radical left in the United States, in Britain. This article says, more often than not, it is the European Union that sets the rules by which multinational tech companies operate. As the world's antitrust chief, the EU keeps global tech companies' market behavior in check, even when their home regulators let them operate free of regulatory constraints. So they have more freedom and latitude in the United States because of the freedoms embedded into our culture. But they try to, rather than have two standards, they just try to comply with Europe because Europe is about a quarter of their market. So let's just go with the European standard, even if it's not something that's distinctly American. And everyone on board, everyone in the world will just go along with it. Well, we have to. It says, for example, Facebook, Google, and Microsoft have all adopted one global privacy policy, and it is one that mirrors the EU's General Data Protection Regulation. Similarly, listen to this, EU rules influence the types of speech that internet companies will allow on their platforms. Instead of being guided by America's First Amendment free speech protections, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube follow the EU's definition of hate speech worldwide when deciding which content to remove from their platforms. So they follow the EU definition. And you just heard from Google, and you just heard from Facebook. If this is misinformation, the way we deem it to be, then we'll take it down. We'll take it down. And that's what they did. Here's a press conference. These two doctors, these two experts, happened 6 days ago. And this is not some obscure video with a couple thousand views. It went viral. And then by last night, it's on Fox News. Laura Ingraham refers to them. Tucker Carlson refers to them. These two doctors from Bakersfield. And by the end of Ingram's show, the YouTube video is gone. It's been erased. It violates YouTube's standards. It says here, by the end of this year, the EU is expected to unveil its new Digital Services Act, which will include more aggressive rules governing the operation of internet platforms. As such, the Brussels effect... She wrote a book by this same title, this author that wrote the Project Syndicate piece. But she says the Brussels effect will likely continue to be felt worldwide, extending the EU's influence in the digital arena and beyond long into the future. So everyone's complying with European regulations, rules and regulations regarding the internet. And wouldn't you know it? Here they're all saying the same thing. YouTube, Google, Facebook. Well, I guess Google owns YouTube. They're all the same. Google Play. If it hurts Joe Biden, erase it. If it goes against Anthony Fauci, erase it. If it stirs up interest in protesting against these draconian measures, let's erase it. Let's just take it down. I got this email a week and a half ago, I think it was, from one of our listeners. I forget which program it was, but it was the one where we were talking about the crazy and contradictory rules, the new rules that govern the lockdown. This listener says, I thought I'd write and express my gratitude for the program. I've pretty much stopped going to any other sources and news besides the Trumpet, as it's just too depressing these days trying to sift through all the lies and to find anything truthful. He says, my wife and I were listening to your program where you were talking about how inconsistent all of the new rules are for coronavirus. At one point you asked, are you starting to see the pattern? You were, of course, being sarcastic, but I immediately thought, yes, I do see the pattern. I had reread the book, 1984, recently, and when you compare that world with the lockdown rules, it's clear that our leaders have the same motivation. They aren't trying to control people's behavior so much as how they think about that behavior. If you are out at the park reading a book, you aren't taking the lockdown seriously, and you must be punished. But going out with the crowd to celebrate the NHS and the police is okay because you're demonstrating your support for the government. Dr. Fauci says casual sex is okay if you're willing to take the risk because, well, people have to stay occupied somehow during the lockdown. But Cuomo and his wife must stay separated because that's too good of an opportunity to pass up to instill more fear and the necessity for continuing restrictions. This listener says, at the end of 1984, the book, George Orwell's book, Winston and Julia could have done anything they liked, broken any rule they wanted, because once the party had conquered their minds, their actions no longer mattered. That's exactly what we're seeing today, he writes. It's exactly what we're seeing today from the radical left during coronavirus. They don't just want people's obedience. They want their full support. It's not enough. It's not enough to just obey Big Brother. You must love him. You must love this. You must conform. You must think this same way. The same way as big tech. The same way as big pharma. The same way as big government. Big Hollywood. Big academia. Big media. And most of the people do. As I say, it's becoming a rarity. Someone who's diligently, diligently seeking the truth and who's courageous enough to proclaim it. When we come back, we'll play a few more quotes or clips from this press conference that's now been deleted from YouTube. These two doctors in Bakersfield that certainly have another story to tell besides the narrative that you hear coming constantly from the Democrat media complex. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. If you'd like to email the program, you can submit feedback to td@kpcg.fm. We'll be right back.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily. Freedom is one of the most sought-after ideals in human history. Man's search for freedom has taken him into the fiercest of protests, struggles, revolutions, civil wars, even world wars. Today, in the midst of free societies, many continue to fight for what they perceive as ever greater freedoms. And yet, many of these same people are actively fighting against law. Few people understand that this war against law actually undermines true freedom. To learn more, request Gerald Fleury's booklet, No Freedom Without Law. In this free booklet, you will see what the Bible says about the latter-day spirit of rebellion and lawlessness that is now so common in our nations today. Also request America Under Attack. In this booklet, you will learn more about the spirit behind this attack on law. You'll see where this is leading. Both booklets are offered freely at no cost or obligation to you. Request No Freedom Without Law and America Under Attack. Email your request to td@kpcg.fm or visit thetrumpet.com. From the Philadelphia Church of God campus in Edstone, England, this is the Trumpet Daily Program with Stephen Fleury.
One reason these two doctors from Bakersfield are sounding the alarm and going public is because they're concerned. They're concerned about the negative side effects of the lockdown. They're on the front lines, and they've seen a spike in things like child molestation, spousal abuse, alcoholism, depression, suicides. And of course, then they're just looking out at society, seeing these mass layoffs, millions of joblessness claims. And they're seeing it in their own industry, hospitals that are now laying off thousands of people during the pandemic of 2020. This from the news today, the Mayo Clinic. It's going to furlough or cut pay for 30,000 employees. The article says approximately 30,000 staff from across all Mayo locations will receive reduced hours or some type of furlough, though the duration will vary depending upon the work unit. This is a nonprofit medical center or organization that employs 70,000 people in multiple states. 70,000 people, and they're furloughing approximately 30,000. These are hospitals that are emptying out. These are hospitals that are, in some cases, closing down because of the COVID-19 panic, because of the pandemonium, because of a disease that's very contagious, but not very lethal. That's what these two doctors had to say last week. Here's clip 8.
So deaths, per the CDC, 24,000 to 62,000 deaths each year. We had about 45 million total cases in 2017 with about 62,000 deaths, or a 0.13 chance of death from flu in the United States. As you know, our other numbers were 0.02. So the lethality of COVID-19 is much less. Now, you've got hotbeds of it in New York, but again, we went over the numbers, 0.1% chance of death. Widespread, small amount of deaths. It's similar to flu, as a matter of fact. If we follow the science, as we've been asked to do, I'm following the science.
Widespread, but small amount of death. And he says there, I'm following the science. He's following the science, and then he's just looking and he's observing. Sam says it's the Mayo Clinic. Is that right? See, it sounds like mayonnaise. I don't want to say that. It's not Mao Zedong. Okay. The Mayo Clinic, 30,000 furloughed. And for a disease that's, as this doctor points out, is fairly similar to a bad seasonal flu. And he's following the science, as he pointed out. I played it yesterday. 6-8 weeks ago, they didn't have any data. Now they do. The Wall Street Journal, it says, it appears that the virus was spreading undetected for weeks during the flu season in February. So it goes, and some of these studies are now bringing this out. It was there, it was spreading, and it was happening earlier than we realized. Which means what? It means a lot more people have already had it. Which means what? That the percentage, the mortality rate on this is significantly lower than what the WHO said in early March. It says here, the virus's wider spread was also confirmed on Thursday by results from a random New York antibody test of 3,000 people and estimated 13.9% of the state and 21.1% of New York City had been infected, or about 12 times the number of confirmed cases. So very, very much widespread, but not that deadly, at least judging by the percentage. Well, these doctors had quite a bit to say about the immune system and how that we fight a virus. I'll play this one for you again. This is what he says about a little child when it's first born and it crawls on the floor and how many things go into the child's mouth. This is clip 9.
The immune system is built by exposure to antigens, viruses, bacteria. When you're a little child crawling on the ground, putting stuff in your mouth, viruses and bacteria come in, you form an antigen-antibody complex, you form IgG, IgM. This is how your immune system is built. You don't take a small child, put them in bubble wrap in a room and say, go have a healthy immune system. This is immunology, microbiology 101. This is not something, this is the basis of what we've known for years.
It's the basis of what we've known for years and years and years in this industry. How do you build an immune system, a strong immune system? Why isn't there more on that? Keep in mind that Google has determined that this is dangerous knowledge, what you're hearing here. What you hear, I suppose, about the immune system, what he says about the statistics, what he says about the science. For some reason, YouTube pulled it down. You've listened to a good bit of this press conference because we've played so many clips yesterday and today. Judge for yourself. Truth is perishing. It's perishing. He went on to say more about the immune system, clip 10.
When you take human beings and you say, go into your house, clean all your counters. Lysol them down. You're going to kill 99% of viruses and bacteria. Wear a mask. Don't go outside. What does that do to our immune system? Our immune system is used to touching. We share bacteria, staphylococcal, streptococcal bacteria, viruses. We develop an immune response daily to this stuff. When you take that away from me, my immune system drops. As I shelter in place, my immune system drops. You keep me there for months, it drops more. And now I'm at home, hand washing vigorously, washing the counters, worried about things that are indeed what I need to survive. Let's follow the science. This is immunology, folks. This is microbiology. This is what we've combined together. We have 40 years of experience in this. This is common sense immunology.
Which means it needs to be deleted from YouTube immediately. Immediately. 40 years of experience? Doesn't matter. Common sense? Nope. Doesn't matter. It doesn't quite square with what Dr. Fauci says. And you're not talking enough about vaccines. You're not talking enough about drugs. You're talking about common sense health laws. You're talking about building your immune system. So we've got to delete it. Now, these two doctors are concerned. And not just for older people with underlying health conditions. They're concerned for all of Americans. Because they feel like the lockdown is weakening. It's weakening our immune systems across the board. Which makes everyone more vulnerable. It's setting ourselves up for more sickness, for more disease, for worse in the months ahead. What happens, they say, if you have, collectively, if you have weaker immune systems and empty hospitals, hospitals that aren't staffed? Well, speaking of immune systems, I had the program, that Sabbath special, a couple of weeks ago on the physical laws of health. I played a couple of clips from Dr. Shiva, this doctor in Massachusetts who's running for the Senate, I think it is. And here's a clip from something he said recently, a few weeks ago, again, about the importance of eating right and building a strong immune system that is resistant to the spread of disease in our physical bodies. Clip 11.
All disease is actually one disease and has one cure, which is food. Food is medicine. That's what Hippocrates said. And when the body, the other principle is when the body is it as its own homeostasis, it takes care of itself, Dave. So your body has a very different homeostasis than my body does, Dave. When we find out the right operational mode of you versus me, our body essentially takes care of itself. In fact, for my Senate campaign, I have a tool that I did that I give to people. It's called Your Body, Your System. And I give them a book which actually teaches them the principles. Out of 50 years, they can learn. They don't have to go to MIT. They can learn control systems principles. And what you find is a goal of health is to bring your body back to its homeostasis. Dysfunctions from that result in what we call disease. Sometimes it's cancer. Sometimes it's heart disease. What I'm saying is these are names that Western medicine assigns to a dysfunction from your own homeostasis. You follow?
Yes.
And
yes.
Some people, it shows up as cancer. Other people, it could show up as Alzheimer's. Other people, it could show up as, you know, osteoarthritis. But the fundamental issue is the inflammatory response mechanisms of the body, which is the immune system. That's why I say the immune system is the operating system. If you take care of that, your immune system is in check. It comes in and it takes care of the rest of your body.
The immune system is the operating system of the human body, he says. So keep that strong, keep that in check. And then you'll resist against the disease. Again, this squares with, there's more scholarly language, I suppose. We are, by the way, we're getting quite a few terms here on the program the last few weeks. Homeostasis, stasis. We'll have to look that one up and have another show. Sodium chloride, don't get me started on that. It didn't dawn on me that that's refined salt. That's from Friday's show. You can go back and listen to that. Mr. Armstrong, he had a way of really, nothing against these scholars. These are smart individuals. Even the ones that are in Fauci's camp, they've had years and years of schooling, for sure. Herbert Armstrong had a way of just really simplifying it in language that anyone and everyone could understand. He said the very first trouble with our deteriorating physical status is that we take sickness for granted. We seem to assume sickness is natural and necessary. He says a cold or fever is merely a sudden, violent elimination of toxins and poisons you have injected into your body by wrong diet, which has broken God's physical laws. Now, even a child can understand that. There are definite laws of health. God is the creator. God's the one who designed this mechanism that we call the human body and mind. Fearfully and wonderfully made, it says in the Psalms. Created to be in its normal condition, as Mr. Armstrong would write, to be robust, to have invigorating, radiant good health. And that's what we have. There's a few exceptions, obviously. There's some hereditary ailments that we can be afflicted with, but for the most part, for most of us, if we're putting into our bodies the right things and then doing the other things that we should be doing, like getting plenty of sunlight, fresh air, pure water, moderate exercise, deep sleep, refreshing sleep, what a difference. And anyone can tell you this. It's common sense. Anyone who's done it on both sides knows the difference. Going back to these two doctors from Bakersfield and his concern, Dr. Erickson's concern about developing a weak immune system because we're all huddled up into our homes, sheltering in place. Here's what he said, clip 12.
I don't want to hide in my home, develop a weak immune system, and then come out and get diseased. We have both been in the ER through swine flu and through bird flu. Did we shut down for those? Were they much less dangerous than COVID? Is the flu less dangerous than COVID? Let's look at the death rates. No, it's not. They're similar in prevalence and in death rate. So we are saying that our response now that we know the facts, it's time to get back to work.
He's following the science, which means the YouTube video is deleted because it was just attracting too many views. As it turns out, there were more than a few people out there who were seeking the truth and who were quite interested in what these two doctors had to say because you're just not hearing it anywhere else. And Google wants to make sure that you don't hear it. One more clip from these two, clip 13.
We've been to hundreds of autopsies. You don't talk about one thing. You talk about comorbidities. Their vessels were narrowed. Their lungs were a smoker. COVID was part of it. It is not the reason they died, folks. It is one of many reasons. So to be so simplistic to say that's a COVID death because they have COVID, you know how many people die with pneumonia or people that die from flu? With flu, I should say. It's not from flu. Their lungs were compromised by COPD. They had a heart attack 2 years ago. They have a weakened body. We aren't pressured to test for flu. But ER doctors now, my friends that I talk to say, you know, it's interesting, when I'm writing up my death report, I'm being pressured to add COVID. Why is that? Why are we being pressured to add COVID to maybe increase the numbers and make it look a little bit worse than it is? I think so.
He thinks so, and he's not alone. We played clips from that Minnesota doctor who said the same thing. They're being pressured. Not only that, there's financial incentive. The doctors get more help from the government if it's a COVID patient, if it's a COVID death. Even more if they go on a ventilator. And like he points out, 2-3 years ago, someone dies of heart disease or lung failure. They weren't then told, well, you better go and do a test after the fact. Do an autopsy. Make sure that he didn't have the flu. Because if he had the flu, that's the cause of death. And this doctor from Bakersfield says, we've never done that before. If someone's been smoking for 25 or 30 years and they die of lung cancer and they've got a touch of COVID to go with it, you know how that's going to be categorized. You know it. Medical professionals in Pennsylvania, they've already been caught. I think they padded the numbers by 250 to 300. Why would you have to pad the numbers if it's a pandemic that's as bad or at least almost as bad as the Spanish flu of 1918? The numbers should speak for themselves. And in a lot of ways, particularly with Queens, they do. It is serious where they're squeezed together in these small areas, sharing public transport and so on. Northern Italy as well. Lots of elderly care facilities. This is where people are most vulnerable. But why would some of these other states, why would some of these other areas be searching far and wide to try to put more COVID-19 causes of death? The USA Today, this is the USA Today. This is not Conservative Review. 1 in 3 death certificates were wrong before coronavirus. It's about to get even worse. So look, they made mistakes, and a lot of them, before this pandemic ever happened. And now you can expect it to get worse. But you see these numbers, and we're told, you must toe the party line. You must be right. You must not only support what Dr. Fauci says, you love him. You love Big Brother. And furthermore, any statistics that come out of the medical profession, they are not to be questioned. Well, that profession, just like any profession, has mistakes. As I've said to you before, there's something like 250,000 people per year in the United States that die in hospitals because of mistakes. But those deaths, they don't matter. It's just the COVID deaths. Like that reporter said to President Trump yesterday, these are people you lost. You're the president of the United States. They died under your watch. And it's your fault, and you shouldn't be reelected. That is not someone that's interested in the truth. USA Today, speaking of that paper, they fact-checked the statements that this Minnesota doctor made a few weeks ago, saying that there was a financial incentive for them to categorize their deaths, these hospitals, as COVID-19 deaths. There's incentive. And he said, whenever you've got money involved, that's just going to bring out the worst in human nature. So there were a lot of people in the Democrat media complex that said, oh, that's not true. Everyone in the medical profession, they're absolutely telling the truth. They're not trying to pad the statistics at all. And so here comes the USA Today. And they say, our ruling, it's true what he said. It's true. We rate the claim that hospitals get paid more if patients are listed as COVID-19 and on ventilators as true. Hospitals and doctors do get paid more for Medicare patients diagnosed with COVID-19, or if it's considered presumed they have COVID-19 absent a laboratory confirmed test, and 3 times more if the patients are placed on a ventilator to cover the cost of care and loss of business resulting from a shift in focus to treat COVID-19 cases. Well, and they're getting the admonition from the CDC as well, saying that even if you don't have time to test them, if they show symptoms that are similar to COVID-19, go ahead and put them on. Cause of death, coronavirus. CDC, financial incentives, and the politicization of it. None of this means the virus is a hoax or that it doesn't exist. But there's a lot of information, a lot of facts that are being manipulated, a lot of things being deleted, a lot of things being inserted. How do you even know? It's like the listener said, I pretty much just tune into the trumpet now. Because how do you know? So many lies. And then two men with 40 years of experience in immunology, in virology, 40 years of experience. They come out last week, last Wednesday. They call the local journalists and say, look, we'd like to make a statement and we'll open it up for questions. And these reporters, you can hear it in the back and forth. A couple of them were quite skeptical. You know, how can you question Dr. Fauci? And even with that, they were very respectful. They said, look, Dr. Fauci, he's up on the ivory tower. He hasn't actually been hands-on for 20-some years. We're just telling you what we see, hands-on. We're just telling you what we've picked up from our community, from our county. Here's what it is, and we're telling you, it's going to hurt a lot of people, the lockdown. So why not lift it? Why not lift it and build strong immune systems in preparation for another wave of this, if there is one? And Google's response, Google's reaction, well, we've got to delete it. We've got to take that down. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. If you'd like to submit some feedback, you can email us, td@kpcg.fm. We thank you for joining us on today's program, and we'll see you tomorrow.